John chapter 15, verse 5. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Lifeline to Glory. Lifeline to Glory. John 15, 5. Thus saith the Lord, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Before we look at our text, let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding of this wonderful verse. Spirit of God, we thank you for being here. We thank you, Lord, that you're here amongst us, even though we're in all different places. And we ask you to speak to every heart listening to this message. Open it up to their minds and to their hearts and to their lives. Help them to live it, Lord, not just hear it or memorize it. Help us all to do that. I pray that you would speak to every heart, bring comfort where comfort is needed, strength where strength is needed. Help us, Lord, to grow and to learn from this wonderful passage that our Lord Jesus gave us. We ask it in his holy name and for his glory and our good. Amen. As we face this continuing plague of the Corona 19, all of us need strength to deal with the disease, the isolation, and we need strength to deal with these crazy politicians who seem to me to be a little out of control. Now, I could be wrong. Most of the world right now, I tell you, brethren, they are living in a state of fear. They're living in the fear of death. They're living in the fear of financial ruin. They're living in the fear of not being able to leave their home. The world right now is panic-stricken, and primarily because they face death. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:12 that people are living that way, the unsaved are living that way, because they do not have a lifeline to hold on to. Paul writes that at that time, that is the Ephesians, you were without Christ. They didn't have Christ. And then he says, being you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, that's God's word, having no hope and without God in the world. They had nothing but themselves and their superstitions. And that's exactly where the world is today. Instead of having a lifeline to glory, most worldlings, they have an anchor rope to hell. And it's wrapped around each and every one of their necks. How do we know that's true? We know that because of the real fear that the world feels at this very moment. The Bible tells us that they should be fearful because Hebrews 10:31 promises us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. On the other hand, for those who are born again, we should not be living in a state of fear right now. Not one of you should have fear in your heart about this plague. Because first of all, I tell you this, you don't have to worry about dying because you've already died. You've died to self and you're alive in Christ. And if you were to, at this very instant, leave this planet, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You have no need to fear for anything, especially something as simple as a common disease. Instead, you and I should be looking at this Corona 19 plague as an opportunity to suffer, an opportunity to grow, and an opportunity to witness to others. Philippians 1:23 reminds us of that. It says, for it has been granted to you that you, for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but you should also suffer for his sake. And it's written in such a way that the context of it is suffering is a gift. And it is a gift because it helps you to grow. Fear doesn't help you to grow. Fear stunts your growth. Because you're believing in yourself. You're not believing in God. You're not trusting in God. Peter told the church the same thing about suffering in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you." He said, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings." Now, he was probably referring to persecution, but I would remind you that Christ didn't just suffer persecution. "I thirst." He knew what thirst was. He suffered that. He suffered persecution. He suffered hunger. He suffered temptation. He suffered just like you and I. And in Philippians 3:8, Paul's attitude about suffering goes even further. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." And the same applies here to you and I today. With this Corona 19, you may suffer. You may suffer in many ways, not even with the disease. But in your suffering, you are glorifying God by trusting in him to get you through whatever it is you suffer, even as Christ trusted in his Father to get him through things. And time also prohibits me from including a host of other fear not scriptures that reminds us how we are to handle any adversity, including and especially the Corona 19 plague. Verses like Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you." And Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, beloved, there are so many verses in Scripture that are a lifeline to glory, and every one of those lifelines connects you directly to God. That's what the Scriptures are. They are a lifeline to glory. These are the sovereign God's words. They're his immutable promises. And they are the absolute truth that has never failed, not even once. And all you have to do, all that you have to do, is claim them. And that is claim them and commit them. And excuse me, is to claim them and not commit the sin of unbelief by being afraid. By being afraid of this plague or even its side effects. What will it do to you? Don't do that. Don't commit the sin of unbelief because of your fear. You need to remember what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, David. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will guide thy path." You need to live that today. Although it was written thousands of years ago, it still has the same power today as the day it was written, and we have to yield to that. We have to believe that, and we have to live that every day. And it doesn't matter what you face. God doesn't care what you face. He says, "Trust in me, I'll take care of you. Fear not." It's all over the Scriptures, beloved. You've read it yourself many times. And it pleased our Lord to give you a visual of that lifeline to glory in the parable of the vine. Our text this morning says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He's referring to himself as the vine because he is the eternal vine on which all of creation hangs. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine that all creation hangs on. John 1:1-3 shows us that God, Jesus, is the creator. It says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him," Jesus, "and without him, nothing was made that was made." And Paul backs that up in Colossians 1:16. He says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, all things, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." That him is, of course, Jesus Christ. And in addition to being the creator, our Lord Jesus is also the one who maintains the existence of all things. Colossians 1:17 says that, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That's Christ. That's the promises that he gives you and I. I'm the creator. That's what he's saying. Everything that exists today, the chairs you're sitting in, the screens you're looking at, the molecules in this universe, the atoms, whatever you want to call them, they all exist because of his will and his grace. Everything. Your health, your life, everything exists. Does he not say that every hair on your head is counted? That means that you have a birthday and a death day. Does he not say that even in nature, not a sparrow falls from the branch, but by his will, everything consists and exists for him? And looking at the second part of the text, the vine connects himself with the branches. Now in the parable, what he's saying is that his disciples, you and I, are the branches. And it's here where the vine connects to the branches that we see the lifeline to glory. The connection between Christ and us is the lifeline. Now, the primary interpretation of that text is that Jesus was using in that parable the 11 disciples, the first church. And the term, the branches, also include all of God's elect generation, and every generation, rather. They refer to all of them. You and I are part of that equation. We are the branches that come from the vine, Jesus Christ. And how do we know that's true? Because every single soul that surrenders their life to Christ, every single soul that's regenerated, become the disciples of Jesus Christ. Proof verse, John 8:31-32. He says, "If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and that truth will set you free." You're a disciple of Christ because you abide in his word. By abiding in his word, you abide in him. Which means a true disciple is a branch as a lifeline to the vine, and the Lord Jesus, our Savior and King. That's what it means, that the branch is connected to our Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ. Now, in the next section of this parable, Jesus tells his disciples to be fruitful branches. In other words, just don't hang out there. Be fruitful, multiply. Their lifeline connection to him, to do that, in order to do that, must be a close connection, or even an intimate connection. "He who abides in me," the text says, "and I in him, bears much fruit." The term abiding means taking up a residence, or as June played, living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. And that means I am dying daily to myself that I might live more of myself for Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Every day, you should be peeling off a little more of yourself and Jesus, putting a little more of Jesus into your life. You should be taking more of the sap from the vine because you're the branch. That allows you to grow, and that allows you to bear fruit for both yourself and for God. And abiding in God's word also means, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14:23. That's also what it means to abide in God's word. Beloved, our hold on the lifeline to glory, Jesus Christ, should be like Paul's. All of us here should have the same grip on that vine as he did. And this is Wendy's favorite verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. And then in another place, he says that I count all the things of this world as nothing. It's always, with Paul, it was always about Christ. And with us, it should be exactly the same way. It doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter what you want. It matters what Christ wants. And if you keep that thought in your mind, it's an attitude you need to keep in your mind, not a thought, then you'll be walking more biblically. You'll have greater access to the sap which is in the vine. You'll have a greater hold on that lifeline to glory. And you'll have greater blessings and you'll have a better life. That's how it works. It's very simple. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me means I shouldn't fear the Corona 19 virus. I belong to Christ. I shouldn't fear death. I shouldn't fear suffering. I shouldn't fear tribulation. I shouldn't fear poverty. Summed up, I shouldn't fear anything on this planet because I'm holding on to the lifeline to glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the vine and I'm the branch. He supports me. He feeds me. He grows me. He gives me the buds to grow fruit, both for myself to get through this world and for his Father in heaven. Jesus is the vine, and you are a branch of him. Then you have a lifeline to glory that will deliver you from every single threat on this planet. But you have to believe that, brother. Those aren't just words. Look them up yourself. Look up the verses yourself. Call me. I'll give you the verses. You have to yield to them. You have to believe in them. You have right now the greatest opportunity you may ever have in your lifetime to trust in God, to have faith in God, to believe in God, and to believe in all of his promises. You'll never have a better time. And all you have to do is look what happens in the world to people who don't have the same belief system as you do. They're a wreck. They're an absolute wreck. Let me give you a promise from God. I love this. Psalm 91. I'm going to read a few verses, 9 through 15. Turn to Psalm 91, 9 through 15. This is what David, this was Moses. Yes, this is what Moses wrote. He says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Get that? God is saying, because you have set your love upon him, I will deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And you know God's name by practicing his will. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Beloved, regardless of what happens to you during this plague, whatever it is, whether you get it, you don't get it, whatever it is, your lifeline to glory in Christ should be the only thing you hope. Don't hope you don't get it. Hope that Christ will save you and deliver you, just as the psalmist said, or as the psalm said. And if you're not living by faith, guess what? You're living like a world and you're living like the rest of the world. And I would ask you this, if you're fearful, how's that working out for you? How's that helping your prayer life if you have fear of this thing, not knowing what's going to happen? How's that working out for your spiritual life? How's that working out for your growth and your Bible study? How's it working out? Those that have ears to hear, the Bible says, let them hear. Fear not, for I am with you. Now, in the next section of the verse, we come to the reward. There's a reward for abiding in Christ and Him abiding in us. He says, they will bear much fruit. By that, Jesus means the faithful can draw upon the strength, His strength, to help them in any situation. That's how you bear fruit. Listen, I want to make this point to you. When you got saved, you were passive. You brought nothing into your salvation. The Bible says you were saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then once you got saved, Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 gives the idea that I will cause you to walk in my statutes. In other words, God is leading you and guiding you through His providential plan of life, and He's putting before you all these opportunities to bear fruit for Him and for yourself. Get through this world. You just have to hold on to that lifeline to glory. You have to hold on to your risen Savior, and you have to use His strength to get through it all, because you'll never make it on your own. And all you have to do is look at the world around you and see how well they're doing on their own. With faith, holding the lifeline of glory will strengthen you to bear the fruit of suffering. And that's really what it is. It's the fruit of suffering. 1 Peter 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, that's what I just talked about, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that's the Corona 19, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ is revealed to you, when you stand before Him, will your time during this plague result in the praise and glory and honor to Him because you drew your strength from Him? That's a question you should ask yourself. Or was I concerned, or was I worried, or was I fearful? Where was I during this plague when I had the spiritual opportunity to honor and glorify God by trusting in Him? You want to ask yourself that question. With faith, holding the lifeline to glory, you, the elect, you can draw upon the strength of the vine, even to help you yield to the gracious habits that are found in the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift. It's a divine gift. When they talk about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, it has nothing to do with what the world knows, because if that was true, nobody would have a fear. The gift of the fruit of the Spirit is something that was in to you, and you have to yield to it. You have to yield to the love of God, knowing that He loves you. He loved you before the worlds were formed, knowing that He cares for you, knowing that Jesus said, cast your burdens upon me. He doesn't say, cast some of your burdens, keep some, and give some to a few other people. He doesn't do that. Cast your burdens upon me. He loves you that much. He was willing to die for you, and His Father loves you as much to give Him as a sacrifice to save you. Love Him. Yield to God's love. Yield to the joy of knowing that you have the vine. You have that lifeline to glory in your life. It is such a rare commodity. You should be joyful all the time. You should never have a bad hair day. Everything should be joyful. Even no matter how, it doesn't matter how bad your life is, if you have that lifeline to glory, you have everything, because anything that's happening to you now is really short-lived. The fruit of fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. All of those things are yours. They're a gift from God. And now you have the opportunity to take that gift and to show it to the world. Let them see your faith. You have an opportunity to demonstrate your faith to the world. I told you, it was a couple, several days ago. I get a little mixed up with days because so much is happening so quickly. I went into a store and I said, "How you doing, pal?" And he said, "Well, I'm hanging in there." And without even thinking, it just came out. "Well, I'm glad I don't have to do that because somebody hung in for me 2,000 years ago. And so I'm doing great." And that's an opportunity to witness. And he started laughing. And as I was leaving, he was still laughing. He understood the point. You shouldn't be fearful. Being fearful is really dishonoring to God because of everything he's given you to handle. It's like being in the military and you're trained up. You go to boot camp. They train you. They train you how to use a weapon or how to fly an airplane or serve on a ship. So when the battle comes, when it will come, you don't fear. You don't sit there and shiver in shame. You trust in your equipment. You trust in your training. And if you're talking in spiritual language, you trust in your Savior, not in yourself, not in luck, chance, or coincidence, but in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. In the last section of our text, our Lord gives us a warning. "For without me, you can do nothing." And if you don't think that's true, as you all know, most of the world, and even most of the evangelical Christians, professing Christians, as I call them, most of them can do nothing. They're as fearful as a worldly. And it's because they don't know Christ. They know of him, but they don't know him, and he doesn't know them. He gives them a warning. "Without me, you can do nothing." That means without abiding in Christ, without living for Jesus, as June's hymn went, without depending on the lifeline to glory, to the vine, you won't bear any fruit in this life, or you won't bear any fruit for God. No fruit whatsoever. If you're not abiding in Christ, if you're not living for Christ, you're not going to bear any fruit. If you're not bearing any fruit for anyone, then I guess you have to ask yourself the question, what am I doing on the vine? If you're professing to know Christ and you're not bearing fruit, what are you doing on the vine? What are you there for? If you claim Christ as your Savior, you must abide in him. If you must live for him, you must trust in him, you must make him the Lord of your life, you must bear fruit for him, and he must abide in you. Must. I tell you all the time, God's word is the absolute truth. So the word must, there's no wiggle. "Well, I abide in him sometimes. When I'm not afraid, it's okay. I like him." No, all the time. Abide in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. Live for Jesus Christ. And he must abide in you. And if you abide in him, he will abide in you. And if you're not doing these things, if you're not living, trusting, and making him the Lord of your life, then you know what? All you are is a withered branch, fruitless and dead in trespasses and sins. I dare say today there are many in Christendom who claim to be branches in Christ, but they never, millions, billions of them, claim to, they profess Christ, but they never bear fruit in their lives or for God. Never. These are the professing Christians that Jesus spoke of in Luke 6:46, when he asked, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Let me say that again. These are Christians. These were people that were following Christ. And he said to them, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? And I repeat that to every single one of you that are listening. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not trust in me to take you through the coronavirus? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not worry and worry about the side effects that comes from the coronavirus or the political situation? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do that? You can't. You see, beloved, if you're not obeying Christ, you're not abiding in him. And he tells you to trust in him. He tells you that I have come to set you free. And he did. And you're not trusting him. And if you're not abiding in him, and you're not trusting in him, he's not abiding or trusting in you. Which means you're not bearing fruit for God or yourself. And again, unfortunately, that's the condition the 21st century evangelical church is in today. They have deceived themselves. Many billions of people have deceived themselves into thinking they're holding the lifeline to glory. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I throw in money in the bucket. I sing, and man, I pray like you can't believe. I got a book of prayers, and I read that book every day. I pray to God out of that book every day. And they think they're holding the lifeline to glory, when in fact, their fruitless lives prove what they're doing is they're holding on to the anchor rope to hell. That's what they're holding on to. Not the lifeline to glory, the anchor rope to hell. And our text backs that up. It's our proof verse. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So if you're abiding in him, then you're bearing fruit. And for without me, you can do nothing. So if you're not bearing fruit, then he's not abiding in you. And what you think is your faith or your Christianity is nothing more. It's not the lifeline to glory. It is the rope, the anchor rope, that will take you straight down to hell on Judgment Day. Metaphorically speaking, I dare say that line all around, we have spiritual eyes and can see it, lying all around the eternal vine are vast, huge piles of withered branches waiting to be burned. These are the people Isaiah prophesied about when he said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship. Matthew 15:8. But vast piles of withered branches just scattered all around the divine vine. And in John 15:6, we have God's promise. The next verse down from our text, we have God's promise to those people who do not abide in Christ. God says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, dried up, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you want to know, have an idea of what that's like, look in your Bibles. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. That's what happens to those branches that have withered, those fruitless branches that have withered. They'll be thrown into the fire and burned forever. And of course, I'm referring to the great white throne judgment. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. This, dearly beloved, is the only lifeline to glory. Jesus Christ, the vine. There's no other way. There's no other help you can have. You have to abide for living Christ, living for Jesus, as the hymn goes, or you don't. It's that simple. If you're listening to this and you're not abiding in Christ, then you're holding on to the anchor rope to hell. You're deceiving yourselves. You're holding on to something that you think will save you, but it won't. It will drag you down to the bottomless pit of the horrific hell and ultimately to the lake of fire. Now, that being said, if you want to let go of that anger, you want to grab hold of the Lifeline to Glory, you call me. Go to our website, get the information, call me, and I'll show you the ropes on how to get to glory. I'll show you how to do that in God's Word. And for those who have professed Christ, but are either not bearing fruit or bearing precious little, there are some who are bearing just little stunted fruit. That's you. Let me ask you, you've heard God's Word. What are you going to do with our text? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to grow? Are you going to abide in Christ? Or are you just going to go on and see how it all shakes out at the end? Will you continue in this spiritual lukewarm condition? Or better yet, why don't you recommit your life and spend more time in your Word and abiding in Christ? Why don't you try that? That would work perfect for you now, and it would work perfectly for you in eternity as well. And just for the record, abiding in Christ is really, do that, it's really just deciding every day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve yourself, or are you going to serve Jesus Christ? If you decide to make more time for God, the Bible says He will help you to bear fruit for Him and yourself. James 4:8. You'll know the verse, draw near to God and what? He'll draw near to you. So with that promise, recommit your life to Christ, whoever you are, and all of us know how much fruit we bear. Recommit your life to Christ and let Him help you bear much fruit for God and to help you get through this life as well. For those of you listening who are fruit bearers, who are not withered or stunted, who are fruit bearers, who are abiding in Christ, who are enjoying the blessings of the fruit of the Spirit, then I tell you to rejoice and bear even more fruit. And the way you do that is by helping others to produce more fruit in their lives. Let them see your faith. Help them. Discipleship them. Give them encouragement. Help them to help themselves. That'll be the blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing for them. And it's my prayer that God would give us the strength during this time of the Corona 19 plague to trust and hold tight the Lifeline to Glory He has given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just hold on to Him, trust in Him, get over yourself, let it all go, and He will deliver you from it. Let's pray. One of the things I love best about your Word, Father, is that it hurts. Your truth hurts us. Even as believing Christians, it hurts us because it shows us just how short we are in our faith and how weak we are. When even when we think we're doing stuff right, we're not. We know it, Lord, afterwards, not then. Your Word is so crystal clear. We are to abide in that vine. We are to abide in Christ. And we are to bear fruit for you. We're not just to hang out here until it's time to go home. We're to do something for ourselves and for you. Help us, Father. Strengthen each and every one of us to do that. I thank you, Lord, that we have been given all the power we need, all the gifts we need. Help us to yield to the power and the strength that you give us in Christ. And help us to glorify you and the Godhead for all that you've done for us, especially the sacrifice of our Savior. Help us to do it all for your honoring glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.